Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Praise the Lord. Once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters, listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. As I welcome you to this episode tonight, I am really excited because we will be climaxing with our study of the book of Isaiah. Now, we know that this study exposes all of the prophecies of Isaiah the prophet about the Messiah of Israel, which points directly to Jesus the Christ. In fact, one of the prophecies actually gives a vivid description of the Savior. Many theologians today constantly use verses from this manuscript of Isaiah, and the Jews consider Isaiah a major prophet. And all of his writings are revered by both Jews and Christians alike. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops and Bible apps or regular Bibles, or have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder that every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, as I like to consider it, during which time you may ask your questions or comment or inquire if you like. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time to thank you again for all of those who have taken the time to give me feedback on this particular show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, I am using. Thank you, my brothers and sisters, so much. As the theme song for the show suggests, the question for this hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? God said through the prophet Isaiah, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is yet near. That's taken from Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6. Now, the promise is it or implied that if you seek the Lord, you will find him, but you have to do it while you are still this side of eternity, and you must call upon him in order for it to be successful. God said through Solomon, King Solomon, for God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he gives travail to gather and to heap up that he may give to him that is good before God. Now the promise is God is going to give you what you need, more especially wisdom and knowledge and joy. But if you are sinning against him, he is going to hold back. And that is taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 26. God said again through King David, wait on the Lord, be of good cheer, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. So again, this is taken from Psalms 27, verse 14. And the promise is that if you wait on the Lord, and waiting, my brothers and sisters, is both serving him and being still until he comes for you. He will strengthen your heart. He will encourage you, and you will be successful in this side of eternity's experience. So again, the question for this hour is, are you standing on the promises of God? Now, before we get started, what I want to do is tell you the Bible is full of mysteries. It's in code. It's full of secrets, parables, and prophecies, proverbs, even paradoxes and riddles and symbols. And the only way you can break the code is through study and through learning, my brothers and sisters. Remember that, through study and through learning. Now, let's get to the study. We're going to be looking at Isaiah chapter 66. Now, there are 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah. We're in the final chapter, and I've written 101 instructions for this series, and we're on instruction number 97. So let's see what Isaiah chapter 66, verse 1 and 2 says. And this is the instruction I want you to keep in mind as I read the text, or the two verses. Where God resides. This is what Isaiah the prophet tells Israel, where God resides in his prophecy. That is Isaiah chapter 66, verse 1 and 2. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you built unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, said the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite heart, and trembleth at my words. So God, through the prophet, is telling Israel a physical existence is what is predominant at this time in the Old Testament. So we know that it was in Jerusalem when Solomon built the temple. That is where God resided. Now what we're going to do is go to our New Testament complement. We're going to go to Acts chapter 7, verse 47-50, and we're going to see how it is related, or it compares and agrees with what Isaiah told Israel at that time. Acts chapter 7, verse 47 through 50. And this is what it says. But Solomon built him a house. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. And we just read that. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hands made all things, all of these things? Now, what the writer is saying to us in the book of Acts, he's repeating what was said to Solomon, or what was said to Israel by the prophet Isaiah. But we know today that the temple no longer exists. So this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that God is omnipresent and ubiquitous, meaning everywhere at the same time. So his dominion is wherever he is at. That is what is significant that we should understand from this instruction, that God is everywhere, and that is where God's throne is, everywhere. Now we're going to go to the next instruction. We're going to go back to Isaiah chapter 66. We're going to look at verse 3 and verse 4. And we are going to keep in mind this instruction as I read the text. The instruction is, God will not accept infidelity. This is what I want you to pay attention to, keep in mind as I read the text. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 3 and 4, that God will not accept infidelity. And this is what the text says. And what we're going to do now is have our first break before I complete the instruction.
Hey, John Maxwell here. Today's Word on Minute with Maxwell is grace. It truly is one of my very favorite words. When you think of the word grace, if there's another adjective attached to it, it's the word amazing. And the reason we talk about amazing grace is because grace is amazing. Now, I'm a person of faith, and so when I think of grace, I think about forgiveness. I think of having space in my life to be able, through God's care and grace and kindness, to overcome and to be forgiven. What I would encourage you to do is not only be grateful for the grace that you and I receive, the blessings that we receive in life, but I would encourage you to become a grace giver. Maybe the best thing that I could ever do for you, or that you could do for someone else, is to extend grace to them, to forgive them, to give them another chance, to turn the other cheek, to walk the second mile. I think that there is probably no higher calling than for us to be grace givers to others. And I know this for myself. There have been times I've really messed up. And what I needed more than anything else was not correction. What I didn't need is a lecture. I just needed somebody to say, it's okay. You're forgiven. Let's move on. So today I would encourage you to take this word grace that is truly amazing and extend it to someone else. Make a call that perhaps you haven't made for a while, or get into a conversation perhaps that you haven't had for a while, and extend grace. I will promise you, when you are a grace giver, you experience for yourself personally an abundance of grace. I promise you that. Thanks for being with me today on Minute with Maxwell.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, precious brothers and sisters, here we go. We're on instruction number 98 out of 101, and we're on Isaiah chapter 66, verse 3 and 4. And this is what I want you to keep in mind as I read the two verses. God will not accept infidelity. Okay, my brothers and sisters, God will not accept infidelity, and that means non-belief. And so, or disobedience, if you will, unrighteousness. Anyway, let us read Isaiah chapter 66, verse 3 and 4, and see what the prophet said to Israel about this. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb, as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation, as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense, as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighted in their abominations. I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear, but they did evil before my eyes, and they chose not in which I delighted not. That is telling us that they were infidels. Even though they knew about God, they were doing other things contrary to the commandments of God. And this is what the prophet is telling Israel at the time, that God will not accept it, even though they were to perform the sacrifices as identified in the book of law, in Leviticus. They still were being rejected by God because they were not believers. They were not obedient. Now let's go to our New Testament compliment. We're going to look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And we're going to see how much more definitive the Hebrew writer talks about infidelity. This is what the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, without fidelity, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, must be righteous, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So God, the writer, is telling us in the book of Hebrews, today, fidelity is critical to our relationship with God. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that faith, fidelity, righteousness, and obedience are major assets for pleasing God. In fact, without them, you won't. And that is critical for us to know. Without those assets, we will not please God. And that's what I want you to understand through this instruction. Now we're going to go back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 66. We're still in 66. This is the last chapter. In fact, we have a few more instructions, and then we'll have completed this book. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 66, verse 10 through 14. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text. God's dominion will come to fruition. Again, you hear that, my brothers and sisters listening out there? What God has determined will be. What God has determined has become and still is to come. God's dominion will come to fruition. And this is what Isaiah told Israel about that in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 10 through 14. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her, that you may suck and be satisfied with the breast of her consolations, that ye may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, ye shall be borne upon her sides, and be dangled upon her knees. If you complete the obedience, the laws, and the commandments that God has given to us, then you will be successful with God, because his dominion is over all of his creation. And this is telling us that if you want to be fruitful, this is what Isaiah is telling Israel. If you want to be fruitful, this is what you must do. Now we're going to go to the book of Revelations, and we're going to see what John the Revelator said about this in Revelations chapter 10, Revelations chapter 22. We're going at the end of the book, Revelations chapter 22, and we're going to be reading verse 10 through 13, and we're going to also read verse 20. Now, this is going to compare and agree with what we just heard from Isaiah the prophet talking to Israel. This is what John the Revelator tells us today about God's dominion. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, meaning the book of Revelations, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, listen, my brothers and sisters, this is very significant. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. If you are fulfilling, if you are completing the commandments of God, then you will be successful. And the last verse is verse 20, and it says, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. So this is telling us that the end of God's commandment is going to be successful if you are obedient to it. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that God is all in all. He is omni-omni. That's what omni-omni stands for, all in all. And to date, all of what is said in the Bible has come to pass and is still occurring. So we know that God was, is, and will be. He is the Alpha and the Omega. So what has been put in print for us to understand is still evolving. But we know a lot of what has already been put in print has come to pass. So there's no reason why we will not know that the rest of what is written will come to pass. And that secures and identifies God's dominion over his creation. Okay, let's go to the next instruction, instruction number 100. And we're going to go back again to Isaiah chapter 66. We're going to read verse 15 through 19. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 15 through 19. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as we read the text. The instruction is God will destroy iniquity. Do you hear that, my brothers and sisters? God will destroy iniquity. That is going to be so significant. And what we're going to do is we're going to, before the break starts, I'm going to reiterate the text for you to prepare for the reading, Isaiah chapter 66, verse 15 through 19. And you can also turn your Bibles to Revelations chapter 16. And we're going to be reading verse 16 there and verse 19. And so now we're going to start that after the break.
It's an urge, truth be told. Every champion has felt it. Every president has felt it. Every king has felt it. Every lion has felt it. Every winner has felt it. Every soldier has felt it. Every victorious person has felt it. The urge to quit. Don't you give up on your dream. I don't care if you don't have the money, you don't have the help, and you don't have the family for it, and you don't have the background for it, and you don't have the friends for it. Don't you give up on your dream. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. It may take you twice as long. You may have to take courses and classes. You might not read as fast. You might not move as quick. You might not have as much. But don't you quit. Don't you quit. Don't you quit. You do make a difference. You do make a difference. You do make a difference. As weak as you are, as tired as you are, as many mistakes as you made, you do make a difference. There is something they would lose if you were not there. There was something that they would miss if you were not there. You do make a difference. You do make a difference. You do make a difference. Keep popping. It's for people that are trying to hop their way back home. Come hell or high water, doing the best they can with what they got. That's who we are, doing the best we can with what we got. And we may not break any ribbons and we may not get any trophies, but if we can learn how to hang on in there, we'll be all right. I will not lie to you, I feel like going on. But I have seen days I did not want to get out of the bed, didn't want to put on clothes, and didn't even feel like brushing my teeth. I've seen days so dark that I just wanted to keep driving, and I didn't even care where I ended up or what you called me. They came, and they passed, and they came to pass. I kept the faith. I kept it. I lost a lot of stuff. I lost a lot of friends. I lost a lot of strength. I lost a lot of courage. I lost a lot of time. I lost a lot of money. But I kept
down on my knees, I was still believing. Broke, I was believing. Lonely, I was believing. Betrayed, I was.
If you lose a job, keep the faith. If you lose a spouse, keep the faith. If you bury your child, keep the faith. If you have to downsize, keep the faith. If you have to move in with your mama, keep the faith. If you're at your wits' end, keep the faith. If you have to catch the bus, keep the faith. If you have to dove, keep the faith. If you get sick, keep the faith. If you lose your kidneys, keep the faith. If you got heart trouble, keep the faith. You might not get a new heart, but you gotta keep your faith.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, here we go. This is the instruction that we're going to keep in mind while I read the text. It's God will destroy inequity. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? That is going to be the ultimate climax and result of inequity. It's going to lose. And this is what Isaiah told Israel about it in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 15 through 19. The prophet said, "For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh. And the slain of the Lord shall be many. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens, behind one tree in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouse shall be consumed together, saith the Lord." God is going to destroy what is done in the dark as well as in the light. "For I know their works and their thoughts. It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory." Only those who are faithful, only those who are obedient will receive the glory of God. "And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations. And have not they heard not my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles." That is the significance of what the prophet said to Israel. And that is bottom line. If you are not worthy, if you are sinful, you are a part of the iniquity that will be destroyed. That's what the prophet is telling the Israel. Now, this is what God is telling us today. This is comparing and agreeing. We're going to the New Testament complement. We're going to look at Revelation chapter 16, verse 16. And we're going to read several we're going to go through several chapters because it is so significant about what's going to happen to those who are not obedient to God. And this is what Revelation chapter 16, verse 16 says. "And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon." So now this is telling us where they're going to be a major destruction of the sinners at the war of the Battle of Armageddon. Now let's go to chapter 20, verse 21, and we're going to see and hear more of what happens to those who are sinful. Chapter 20. Verse 21, 20 and 21, chapter 19. I am correcting that. Chapter 19, verse 20 and 21, this is what it says. "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowl were filled with their flesh. Now, this is, again, part of the revelation or the prophecy that is telling what will happen to those who are disobedient to God. They will be in the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And verse, are we going to go now to chapter 20, verse 14 and 15, and it's going to tell us the coup de grace. This is the culmination of the destruction of what is to happen at the end. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 14 and 15, it says, "And death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire." So that tells us, my brothers and sisters, that all of iniquity will be destroyed. And we know that hell and death are a part of the final enemies against God. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that sin, death, and hell will be forever separated from God and his creation. Now, the reason that this is so significant, my precious brothers and sisters, is because we have the Spirit of God. We are made in his image and likeness. So that image and likeness, I am sharing with you my understanding that it cannot be destroyed, but it can be punished. It can be apart from God. And this is what the lake of fire suggests and identifies, that in that part of God's dominion is a place where iniquity is constantly being destroyed or purged, and we understand it will be forever. That's what I'm trying to illustrate in this instruction. Now let us go to the final instruction. We're going to go to 101, and we're going to be still in Isaiah chapter 66. In fact, you can see I've had five instructions for this chapter, this last chapter, and this is what Isaiah tells Israel in chapter 66, verse 20 through 24. Verse 20 through 24, this is what I'm going to read to you, and I want you to keep in mind this instruction as I read the text. God exposes another dispensation of time. That is paramount, my brothers and sisters, for the end of this book of Isaiah. God exposes another dispensation of time, and he did this through the prophet way back in the Old Testament to Israel, telling them that there is going to be another dispensation of time. Of course, at that time, it was during the Mosaic era, and the Christian era had not even started yet. But what I'm going to share with you is something even more significant. And now I'm going to read the text. Again, keep in mind, God exposes another dispensation of time to Israel through the prophet. And this is what the prophet says in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 20 through 24. He says, "And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord out of all nations, upon horses and in chariots and in litters and upon mules and upon swift beasts, and to the holy mountain Jerusalem, saith the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of the Lord." And what I'm going to do now is prepare for a break, and then after the break, we will continue the study.
You know, I don't do too many of these. I don't know who this is for type post. But I'm out here golfing. And sometimes I'll actually miss a shot, shank it a little bit, and it'll actually go closer to the hole. Then when I learn from my mistake and I hit it better, the actual results, the landing spot for the ball is not so good. So last time I did that, I said to myself, or perhaps the Spirit said to me, immediate results are not always evidence of progress. Or progress is not always shown in the immediate results. So I don't know who this is for, but I just want to say, if you just started doing something right, don't be discouraged by the immediate results. If you just started dating correctly, don't be discouraged by the immediate results. If you just started praying fervently and without ceasing for something, you finally gave it to the Lord for once, don't be discouraged by the immediate results. Progress is happening, and it will show in the long run.
If someone were to ask you who is Denzel Washington, you would say, he's a great actor. I would say, no, that's what he does, but that's not who he is. If someone were to ask you who was Aretha Franklin, you would probably say she's a great singer. And again, I would say, no, that's what she did, but that's not who she was. Because we think that identity and activity are synonymous. There are many Americans right now that have lost their jobs, and for many, their identity was wrapped in what they did. And I want to encourage you and remind you that you are not a human doing, but a human being. Because your identity is not in what you do. It is in who he says you are. So I need for you to get up right now and remember everything he says about you right now. Get up and be. Let's go. Man, I want to say this humbly. Man, we got to stop sounding like broken records when we keep going to the Lord about the same thing, the same way, over and over and over again. It ain't really about the conversation and the time with God. We just want God to help and fix it. But instead of God so busy wanting to fix it, a lot of times God is wanting to fix me. And so he will use it as the tool to fix me. So the thing that we're wanting him to remove and to deliver that we keep going over and over and over about, like he don't know. He knows. And he also knows it is the thing that gets you on your knees quicker. And so whatever pushes you to your knees is good. For his glory and for your good. Because he loves you.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my brothers and sisters, we are going to now complete this instruction. The instruction again is God exposes to us another dispensation of time, and this is what Israel received at their time. Remember, I mentioned to you earlier that the Christian era had not even started yet. And we're going to even get more than that when we get to the New Testament complement. But this is what Isaiah told the Israelites. And I'm going to start again with the verse 20 that I read through because it's going to, I want to keep a continuity in the hearing. This is what verse 20 says. And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord out of all nations upon horses. And in chariots, and in litters, and upon mules, and upon swift beasts, to my holy mountain, Jerusalem, saith the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering and a clean vessel into the house of the Lord. And I will also take of them for priests, and for Levites, saith the Lord. For as the new heaven and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord. So shall your seed and your name remain. Now, Isaiah is going way into the clairvoyant prophecy, meaning that things that are unknown to Israel, because they know that at that time they had the temple at Jerusalem, and that's where they were sufficient in knowing that God resided there. But this is telling them that there's going to be new, and that is something that we will find out more about when we get to our New Testament complement. Verse 23 says, and it shall come to pass that from one moon to another and from one Sabbath to another shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched. And they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. So Isaiah completes the thought, which is very clairvoyant. And you know the prophets, the way they wrote, that all of it was not that clear at the time. But again, what this is telling us, that Isaiah is identifying a new dispensation of time. And the reason I'm telling you this is because of the New Testament. Israel had not the New Testament at this time, so they couldn't fully understand a lot of what the prophets were saying. But today, because we have more books and we have a new covenant, we can make the relationships, compare and agree, and get a better understanding of that. Now what we're going to do is go to our New Testament complement to see more of this dispensation of time that's going to come. And this is Jesus speaking, and we're going to go to the Gospel of Matthew. Now, you can find the same explanation in the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of Luke, but I'm using the Gospel of Matthew. Chapter 24, we're going to go to verse 25, and we're going to read through verse 31, and this is Jesus identifying a new dispensation of time to us, all right? And again, we're now in the Christian era. So Israel, at the time Isaiah gave them the information, they were in the Mosaic era. They had not entered into the Christian era, so they didn't even know there was going to be a Christian era. So that would be something significant. But we today in the Christian era are going to find out even something more, because I believe we have not entered the final era or the final dispensation. And that is what I'm sharing with you from what Jesus told his apostles in this verse, in these verses in Matthew chapter 24. We're going to read verse 25 through 31 to begin with, and this is what it says. Behold, I have told you before, wherefore if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. That's that new dispensation. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Now, that's telling us that we're all going to be a part of this union at that time. Verse 29 says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. My brothers and sisters, that is the dispensation that I'm talking about, which has not even occurred for us yet. Verse 30 says, and then shall appear the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together the elect from the four corners of the wind, from one end of the heaven to the other. And now let us complete the thought by going to verse 34 through 36, and it says, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. That's the key. And I believe that we're not in that dispensation of time yet. All right? I believe we're in the Christian era, but the Christian era is not a part of the end era, if you will. Verse 35 says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So that is something that was not even at this time that this was written exposed to us or even to Jesus, because he said that. Now, in the book of Revelations is where we get that information of that last, of that climax. And this is what I identify as the end time era in its fullness. And the reason I say that is because when Jesus gave us this information, he had not yet received it himself. It tells us in the first chapter of the book of Revelations, that chapter 1 in the book of Revelations, it even indicates to us that this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. God did not give him this before he ascended into heaven. So this is the reason why in the Matthew version it was not known, because Jesus had not received it yet because he had not been ascended. And it further states, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent it and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So after Jesus received it, then he sent it to us through his servant John for us to receive. And that's what's significant to us. And before we get to this final break, well, I'll tell you what. We'll go to the break, and then I'll give you the lessons answer that I have identified after we come back from the break.
Whatever you're in tonight, you can come out. You say, sister, how do I get out? Praise your way out. Can I get somebody to praise your way out? You might be sitting next to somebody that may not need a miracle, but tell them, I have an emergency. I gotta praise my way out. Oh, come on, I tried it and it worked. I tried it and it worked. He breaks every fetter. That's why I don't care how long it takes. I don't mind waiting. Now, I don't think you heard what I said. I don't care how long it takes. If it takes him 20 years, because the Bible said if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So guess what? I'm not just waiting on God. I'm waiting in God. Because I know he holds my destiny. And the Bible said he knows the way that I take. And when he has tried me, I shall come out. Somebody just start shouting if you know that he's making a way for you to come out. I don't mind waiting on the Lord. Early one morning in 5 a.m. prayer, I had finished the prayer on Tuesday morning, and I had raised the sacrificial offering, and the presence of the Lord filled the room. And I was going through a mighty trial at the time, and the Spirit of the Lord dropped these words and this song in my spirit, and I just started singing. And it has become my anthem. And when I can't see my way out of a situation, and the devil trying to make me frustrated because it looks like God ain't moving, I turn around and tell the devil, I don't mind waiting. Somebody just start shouting that. Shout it back in the face of the enemy. Let the devil know that whatever you tried, it ain't gonna work, because I don't mind waiting. Dr. Panyon. Thank you, Jesus.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, here is the instruction that I want you to take from this, or the lesson I want you to take from this instruction that I've written. God exposes another dispensation of time. And after what we read in the Old Testament and the New Testament, this is what it should mean to us right now, that the last dispensation or era of God will be the end of time and not the Christian era that we are currently in. Now, a lot of theologians today identify the era we're in as a culmination, meaning this, the Christian era will conclude with the end of time. I beg the difference. I believe, just like as it was identified before in the Bible, the theologians today say that we have three different eras. We have the patriarchal era, the Mosaic era, and the Christian era. But those who were living the life through the Bible did not know that after the patriarchal era, there was going to be another era, meaning the Mosaic era. And the same, they knew that there was a Mosaic era or a patriarchal era and a Mosaic era, but they didn't know it was going to be a Christian era. So I'm saying that we know of the three, but we don't know of this end era. And I'm suggesting to you that from my study and my perspective, that the book of Revelations tells us there's going to be an end time era. Okay, my brothers and sisters, we have completed the book of Isaiah. Our next time we get together, we're going to go into the book of Matthew. I ask you to be with me at that time. Now, before we complete tonight's lesson, I'm going to share with you what I believe is correlative to what we just studied. And what I'm saying is this is a lesson that identifies the enemies of mankind. These are the things that we should be aware of and stay away from during our experience inside of eternity. And these are nine enemies of mankind that I have identified. First, sin. Second, the knowledge of good and evil. Third, the evil workings of the flesh and spirit. Fourth, the curses of the Garden of Eden. Five, the flesh. Six, the devil. Seven, ungodly men. Eight, death. Nine, hell. Now, these are the ones from my study that I have identified that I think are what is problematic with us in our lives. And we know that sin is number one. But, my brothers and sisters, we also know that Jesus Christ came and died for our sins on Mount Calvary. So sin has been removed as being number one that confronts us. Today, the knowledge of good and evil and the evil workings of the flesh and spirit, those two have elevated themselves to the number one spot. And what I've done is I've identified scripture to substantiate what I'm claiming. And I have Old Testament and New Testament scripture that supports this. Now, of course, the psalmist said about sin, we'll look at sin first. We know that sin has been removed, but this will tell us and substantiates that. The psalmist says in Psalms 85, verse 2, thou hast forgiven the iniquity of the people. That is the sin that we're under. And the psalmist told them then in Israel that sin would be forgiven, but it hadn't been forgiven at that point in time. Now, we go to the book of Revelations, and we go to chapter 1, verse 5, and it says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten from the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So when Jesus died, sin was removed. It was eliminated. Even though we talk about sin constantly, sin is no longer number one in our lives. Of course, the workings are what's number one, and the workings are a result of the knowledge of good and evil and the evil workings of the flesh and spirit. That is what has taken over the number one spot. And this is what the Bible says about the knowledge of good and evil. Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in that day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And we know that the wages of sin is death. And that is what happened to Adam and Eve. And we have inherited the knowledge of good and evil from our forebears. And that is the number one spot in our lives that prevents us from being sanctified. And of course, the evil workings of the flesh goes right along with this knowledge of good and evil. That's what causes the evil workings of the flesh and spirit, the knowledge of good and evil. So that those two and three are taken over. Now, I've separated them for study purposes. And this is what the Old Testament says about the evil workings of the flesh and spirit. We look at Ecclesiastes. Wise man Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14, for God will bring every work into judgment. Well, let me go to the knowledge of good and evil. It says the New Testament, to corroborate and compare and agree what I just read about the knowledge of good and evil, 2 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. So it's telling us that the knowledge of good and evil is the major culprit in this assault against us. And it causes the flesh and the spirit to work evil doings. And in the evil workings of the flesh and spirit, it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14, for God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So that is Solomon is saying way back then that because of what we do, the actions that occur because of the knowledge of good and evil, we will be held accountable for it. And we know in Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, it substantiates that by saying, and I believe that if we're still on
the
air.
Thank you for joining us for basic instructions before.
Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here, but it went out for a minute.
I don't know what happened.
Okay, I don't either. All right, go ahead and you can complete it. The sign-off, you can go ahead and complete it.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, blog talk radio talk show program. Hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE.
My brothers and sisters, as we completed this lesson this evening, good night, and God bless.